Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state reported no new COVID-19 cases yesterday, but the Manilik Association confirmed a case in Kotzebue, that community's first. KOTZ reports that the positive case is someone who traveled to the city from outside yesterday. The person was screened upon arrival and tested positive, then began self-isolating. The State Department of Corrections says an inmate at the Anchorage Correctional Complex has tested positive for COVID-19. The Department of Health and Social Services says the case, which will be officially reported today, is being investigated and contact traced. It's the second state prison inmate to test positive. The other case was last month at the Goose Creek Correctional Center in Wasilla. The state plans to relax most of its remaining COVID-19 health mandates Friday, allowing all businesses as well as libraries and museums to open and all recreational, sports, and religious activities to resume. During a press conference last night, Governor Dunleavy pointed to Alaska's consistently low case numbers and ramped up COVID-19 response capacity.
Our job with the state is to make sure that we have a healthcare system that can withstand the rise in cases. It's going to be up to the businesses and individuals to manage and monitor their own lives.
The governor said additional COVID-19 cases are expected as more businesses open and activities resume, but that they will be addressed locally instead of with statewide mandates.
Our health team will work with those communities and work with those venues and work with those establishments and the individuals to deal with the virus. But I don't foresee us going back to something that's statewide.
According to a release from the governor's office, Alaskans are encouraged to continue to follow health and hygiene protocols. The Alaska House adjourned its session yesterday after passing a bill approving a plan to spend federal COVID-19 relief money. KTOO and Alaska Public Media report that the Senate passed its own version of the bill, but with the House adjourned, the Senate will have to pass the House version for it to take effect soon. That vote could be today, the deadline under the state constitution to end the session. The bill provides more than $1 billion to communities, small businesses, and others under a plan developed by Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration. Anchorage Democratic Representative Garen Tarr says the final version of the plan was improved from what the administration originally proposed. For example, business owners were concerned that the administration's original plan for $290 million in small business relief would have to have been a loan program.
Now it's a grant program. That's huge, and that is a huge change.
Administration officials have said the first of nearly $600 million in payments to communities would start soon after the legislature passes the bill and the state receives information it's requested from communities. Fairbanks Memorial Hospital and the Blood Bank of Alaska are part of a nationwide study to gauge the effectiveness of blood plasma from recovered COVID-19 patients as a treatment for the disease. KUAC's Robin reports.
This story is for the 350-ish Alaskans who have recovered from COVID-19. The folks among them who have had laboratory tests to confirm that they had it and are healthy enough now to donate blood plasma.
We think if someone's had COVID and they've recovered, there may be antibodies in there that may help someone else who is acutely ill.
That's Dr. Danny Robinette, the chief medical officer of Fairbanks Memorial Hospital. He says people who've recovered from COVID-19 have antibodies, those infection-fighting proteins, in their blood. Plasma, the liquid portion of the blood, from people who've recovered is called convalescent plasma. Robert Scanlon, the chief executive officer of Blood Bank of Alaska, says the plasma is infused from blood donated by Alaskans who have recovered from the coronavirus disease.
We've had approximately a dozen successful collections.
There is no cure for COVID-19, and doctors are still looking at all manners of treatment. Medical centers and blood banks in Alaska are joining a nationwide study through the Mayo Clinic to find out if this might work, if convalescent plasma given to COVID-19 patients boosts their immunity to fight the virus. Normally, a med center would apply to perform a clinical trial and get set up for human testing with oversight called an institutional review board. But, Robinette says, the Food and Drug Administration has thrown the net wide in what's called expanded access.
Through the expanded access program, Mayo Clinic is the IRB and the primary investigator. We take the protocols that they send us. They're really doing the research under special guidelines by the federal government.
Foundation Health Partners, which runs the nonprofit hospital in Fairbanks, already has an established relationship with Mayo Clinic, so it was easy to step into this study. As of this week, there are about 2,300 sites with more than 6,000 doctors and almost 20,000 patients registered in the study. One of those is in Fairbanks.
The first two units of convalescent plasma have been ordered.
Scanlon says the Blood Bank of Alaska is developing a small stockpile of various blood types from donations made by Alaskans who have had the disease.
So the criteria for a donor is that they must have had a diagnosis of COVID-19 documented by a laboratory test and complete resolution of mild to severe symptoms for 28 days or more.
Scanlon says there are not enough accurate, widespread antibody tests available to add other folks. So right now in Alaska, the study will only take people who were tested positive for the virus.
So unfortunately, folks who believe they may have had COVID, and I'm not doubting that they did, but they don't have the documentation to know for sure that they have those antibodies, and that could only be assured with that laboratory test being done.
Convalescent plasma has been studied in the U.S. in outbreaks of other respiratory infections, like the 2009 H1N1 flu, 2003 SARS, and the 2012 MERS epidemics. But Dr. Robinette says those were small studies.
One of the advantages of this is we're going to have a huge number of patients that have been treated to analyze. We may get better data from this than we got from any of those previous trials, which were much smaller patient numbers.
The Mayo Clinic study could influence preventatives like vaccines or treatments for COVID-19, as well as help learning about other diseases. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The Environmental Protection Agency has taken federal Clean Air Act mandated actions to reduce wintertime fine particulate pollution in areas of Fairbanks and North Pole. Bill Dunbar with EPA Seattle office says the agency has issued a determination that the communities failed to meet a December 2019 air quality attainment deadline and denied a request for a 5-year extension to do so. Dunbar describes both actions as procedural and expected.
At the end of the day, the news here is that the state and the EPA and the borough are working pretty closely together on developing a plan that should, over the next several years, start delivering even further benefits than we've seen just over the last couple, 3 years.
The next step is amending a state implementation plan to demonstrate how burn bans and other measures can reduce PM2.5 levels by 5% annually until local air meets federal standards. Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation Air Program Manager Cindy Heil says the agency knew when it submitted the plan last year that the Fairbanks North Pole area would not meet the December 2019 deadline and that the plan to get there would need more work. She says the plan amendments will show how emissions mitigation measures will achieve the required 5% annual PM2.5 reductions.
For example, the wood stove change out. So every time we change out an old stove and put a new stove in, we have to quantify all those change outs. And so every one of our measures will be going through that.
Heil says the amended plan also has to include contingency measures in case the others fail to achieve the 5% reductions.
We're trying hard not to put any new control measures, but one of the requirements is we have to look at every single measure that we have not put in and reevaluate them and show that we don't need them or we can't use them.
Heil says that's based on either their impracticability or prohibitive cost. She says the amended plan is expected out for public comment this summer. I'm Dan Bross.